Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Well, good morning, everyone. Everyone's so quiet this morning, like you're expecting something. Well, good morning. Welcome to Camden Nazarene. If you're visiting this morning, it is great that you're here. We're excited that you're here. And while you're here, I pray to God to meet your need. Well, as you all know, that Pastor David and Pastor Scott and their families are away this weekend. They're on a retreat down at the beach. So we pray that they'll have a great time there this morning. Now, in the last couple of days, I have gotten what they call a head cold. So I'll tell you what, if you can put up with my scratchy voice and my sniffles this morning, well, then I can put up the way you're going to be listening. How's that? We'll do a trade-off. Father, I thank you today. Father, I thank you for this moment. And Father, I pray now that you would anoint your words, that they will fulfill their intended purpose. Father, we invite you now into this service. And Father, we lift up your name this morning. Because, Father, you are the reason that we gather to worship. And Father, we're not here this morning out of habit. We're here this morning to lift up your precious name and to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, we ask you now to take charge of this service. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor David asked me if I would mind filling in for him this morning. And I said, he said, just take a week and pray about it. So I did, and the Lord, he did. I'm not going to talk about it, but in a certain way, he gave me the answer. It was most definite. So I started last Sunday. I told Pastor David that, yeah, everything was good. And I had spent about 3 days on a subject, and then last week, the Lord changed it and sent me in a different direction. And I'm like, okay. So as I started studying this and preparing and a lot of reading, a lot of research, I come up with something very astonishing. And I have found out and I discovered in my study this week that there's an epidemic in the church. And I'm like, So as I dug a little deeper and kept reading, what I found out was the epidemic that we have in the church. When I say in the church now, I'm not talking about just here at Camden Nazarene. You know, when I say church, I'm talking about Christian. If you're a Christian, Bible-believing church, you have this epidemic in your church as well. It's not just here. I want to make that clear. But it's here. And the statistics show it. The epidemic that we have in our church is called biblical illiteracy. Now, I know you're thinking right off, illiteracy. Wait, I can read and write. And that's what illiteracy is. The inability to read or write. But Webster also says that literacy is also a lack of knowledge in a particular subject. That subject being the Bible. See, we live in a day and time to where this world has so much to offer. And I know everybody's number one thing, I just don't have time. The world offers a lot. We are involved in so many different things. We work long hours. We have our hobbies that we're involved in. It takes a lot of time. But we don't make time anymore to read God's Word. And the statistics show it. Justin, if you'll show us that chart. If you look on the screen here, it pretty well lays it out. 9% say that they have read the Bible more than once. Now, we're not talking just flipping a few pages, reading a few scripture. We're talking about starting at Genesis, going all the way through Revelation, reading God's word completely, all the way through. All the way through. Yes, Leviticus too. I know Leviticus is a tough one. Clean, unclean, on every sentence, you know. 9%. So there's a chart. We're going to let it stay just for a few minutes, and you just kind of look it over. Where do you fall in under that? And I know a lot of people, and I have myself in the past, it's very easy to do. Well, I have my devotional every morning. You know, I have my quiet time, I pray, and I have a devotional. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all. And I know a lot of people, I even have one, Oswald Chambers. How many have a devotional book from Oswald Chambers? Great devotional book. Now, Oswald Chambers, he was Scottish Baptist, and he was born a few years ago, back in 1874. He passed away in 1917, 43 years old, young man. His wife gathered all his manuscripts, his notes, and she published them into a devotional, and she distributed those among the military and all the servicemen there in Scotland. And it wasn't until 1935 that all that was really sent to a big publisher, and we have what we have today. My utmost for his highest. I have a copy. I know Larry back there has one because I've heard him talk about it. Great devotional book. But, there's a but there. If that's all you read, if that is all you do in the mornings, you have your quiet time, you pray, and you read a devotional. The devotional will have usually a storyline and a scripture. And it's great for a starting point. But if that's all you do, day after day, you don't get into the meat of the word, just a devotional, then you, as well as myself, you have fallen and you have been hit by the Christian epidemic of biblical illiteracy. And you can see it on the screen, 30%. Now, this is not Joe Blow standing on the sidewalk doing a sidewalk survey. This is believers. These are people who are Christians, who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, born again. And this is what we have. 30%, just several passages or stories. So where do you fit into that? Do you read a few verses every day, just a devotional? Do you really get in and in depth and study God's word? Crusade for Christ. Again, this is among believers. They've done a little survey, and they come up with the 10 top reasons why Christians do not study God's word. And I'll give you just a few of them. Matter of fact, they're top 10. I'm not religious. Now, let me remind you, this is Christians. They're asking this question. Why are you not reading and studying God's word? Right off the bat, well, I'm just not religious. And the second one, really, when I read the second one, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But then if you think about it, the time period that we're living in, you cannot turn your TV on, your radio on today without hearing what? Racist. Matter of fact, we have a president that can walk out and say the sky's blue. He's a racist. That's how bad it has gotten. And what do you think number two was? The Bible is just for white Americans. Now, the last time I checked, the Bible was translated in over 500 different languages. But yet, when you do a survey among Christians, so they say, number two, the Bible is just for white Americans. I think we got a big problem there. Number three, I can't get past Genesis. First book of the Bible, the creation story. And just can't get past Genesis. Number four, it's boring. Well, that would tell me I didn't get past Genesis because, man, you start reading about King David, his mighty fighting men, about Samson. Those stories are not boring. Number five, I just can't understand it. Number six, the Bible. Listen to this now. The Bible is full of errors. Now, people who are Christians who were part of this survey will stand and answer this question as, well, the Bible is full of errors. Yep, I'd say they're in that 30%. I don't have time. That would probably be the only one that I could buy. Don't have time. But you have to make time. The Bible doesn't work for me. The Bible is outdated. Outdated. Yes, it's pretty old. Pretty old. But it's never outdated. It's still alive and relevant today. And number 10, I just don't want to. Plain and simple. Just don't want to. I could probably buy that one too. Just don't want to. With all that, with all those excuses, top 10 excuses that they come up with all that said, 92% of all Americans have at least one copy of God's Scripture in their home. 92%. So it's not like, well, no one said, well, I can't find my Bible. No one said, well, the dog ate it. You know, none of that. 92% still have a copy of God's Word in their home. I'd say out of all that, they're just not making the time. Or have they really accepted Christ as their Savior? Because, see, once you accept Christ as your Savior, see, your spirit is dead. So you go all the way back to Genesis, and from the very beginning, God said, let us. He didn't say, let me make man in my image. He said, let us make man in our image. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit were there at the creation. Isaiah has several references to the Trinity in the beginning. Even Jesus himself made mention of it. So, when we accept Christ, our spirit comes alive. It is dead. It is dead. All we want is what we want. But once that spirit comes alive, we put on the new man, then that hunger within us, that desire within us to know God, to know more about him. And where do we go? We go to his word. So with all these excuses, my first thought is, okay, you say these top tens were from Christians, but then again, it makes me wonder if Christians have this type of attitude toward God's word. Then I personally question whether they truly accepted Christ as their Savior. Look around you this morning. Do you have more than five people sitting on your pew? Because statistics say that one in five churchgoers say they never read the Bible. So look down your pew. If there's more than five, y'all go ahead and point them out. No one's pointing. One in five. One in five say they never read God's word. Justin's going to put some scripture on the board. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Okay, NIV. This particular scripture, we'll go ahead and if we'll all read it together. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Me personally, I like the NIV translation of this one. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So, as Christians, as believers, how much do we study? Or are we just still hung up in the devotional, can't get past that? I'm still in the 30%. We need to study. And when King James translated the Bible over into English in 1611, the word study there was kind of like, should we go with strive or should we go with diligent? In a translation, you know, there's a lot of work there. We have study. And I think that is very, very correct. It means just what it says. Study. To show thyself approved unto God. Because in the end, he is the only one. He is the only one that we're to please. We're to study, to show ourselves approved unto him. And we talk about study God's word. You know, Paul, all through, well, in 2 Timothy, that is Paul, 1 and 2 Timothy, he's writing this letter to young Timothy, as he referred to him a lot. Young Timothy, he and Timothy worked together a lot. Timothy was like a son to Paul. He was a good bit younger. And when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, Paul was in prison here. The emperor Nero had put Paul in prison again. He had been there many times. This was around 66, 67, somewhere in that time frame. But Paul wrote to Timothy and trying to get the point across to Timothy, hey, Timothy, young Timothy, study. Show thyself approved. Make sure all that you teach, the people you come in contact with, when you tell them about the scripture, tell them they need to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And what happens when we don't know God's word, other than a few verses, we don't study and get deep into it, then this is what happens. Justin's going to put another 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. Now, I'm sure he has the NIV out there because we worked over this morning. But I like the Barron Study Bible version of this, and that's the one I'm going to read. For the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires, so they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. See, what happens is when you don't stay in the Word, when you don't get deep into it and really understand it, there are people out there. I think we refer to them nowadays as cults. It sounds so Christian. I mean, man, that's the best thing. I've listened to them. This is what people say. I've listened to them, and before you know, they're wrapped up in it. But when you get deep into it, it's not Christian. Why? Because the person has not studied, has not learned God's word, And what has happened here is because they don't know God's word, their ears are getting tickled, and it's like, this sounds good to me. I think I'll go over here and worship with these people. It just sounds so great. They're doing great things. But their ears are being tickled. It's not Christian. And you know, that is Satan's number one thing, to mimic and mock and duplicate what Christ does, what his word says. That's how he draws people in. He's a counterfeit. And that is what happens when people do not get into God's word and study. There's a difference between reading and studying. And let's look at 2 Timothy 3:17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, you've heard Pastor David in the past say that the Ruach, the breath of God, that's what the scripture is. All scripture is God-breathed. It is the breath of God. So what happens when we don't study, we don't take God's word seriously? What happens? Well, we become lazy. We can go back to those top 10 again and go down that chart and see what fits you. But that's what happens. We become lazy. We were reading a little bit, but instead of going deeper and studying God's word, we kind of backed off, and now we read it every once in a while. In other words, we go back to drinking milk. And before you know it, we've done fallen back into the epidemic. And the epidemic is not a problem just here in the 21st century. Paul had this same problem back in his day. Now think about it. How many books of the Bible do we have? Where's our quiz team? 66. How many is in the New Testament? 27. 39 in the Old. How many did Paul write? Quiz team. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Some of the theologians and the scholars think maybe 8, but I think I'll still stick with the original 13. But Paul had this same problem. Now, we have 66 books. Back in Paul's time, they only had 5 books. They had the Torah. That's all they had. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. That's all they had. 5 books of the Bible. So if they'd done a sidewalk survey or some type of survey with them, wonder what their excuse would be. My scroll wouldn't unroll. The camel ate it. Just imagine, they only had 5 books. But with 5 books, they still couldn't get it. And Paul had addressed this problem in Hebrews chapter 5. Chapter 5, starting with verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, it's not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So what Paul is saying is, they started out good. Everything was going good there in the church. And what he's warning them about falling away. And what happened was they quit reading their Bible. They may have even quit praying. But he has to go back and he says, I need to come back and teach you the basic elementary truths of God's word again. By now you should be teaching others. Milk. Milk Christians. Oh, the churches are full of them. The churches are full of them. They hear one Sunday. You might not be here for two more Sundays. Hey, people, that's the way it is. Milk toast Christians. They just can't get their feet planted. They can't get into God's word. And this right here, that's the answer to all the problems right here. That is it. The book has all the answers. Oh, well, you shouldn't say that. I'd be offended. Well, let me tell you something. The word of God offends. If there's sin in your life, this book will offend you. The book offends. Why? Because it's the breath of God. It is truth. 100%. Yes, it offends. Because you're not where you're supposed to be. So, that leaves us with a question. So what do we do as believers to overcome this epidemic of biblical illiteracy in our churches? Well, I figured we could come up with three things. I thought about it, and I come up with my top three. And I'll share them with you this morning. To keep from being hit with this biblical illiteracy in our churches, this bug that attacks us, number one, we could study God's word. Number two, we can pray. And number three, we can study God's word. Now, you can mix those up in any order you would like. But those are things we need to do. Why? That's what we need to do, but why? Why should we do this? Well, Paul made it plain. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, there's coming a day, then we're going to stand before God. When we come before the bema seat of Christ, now the white throne judgment, that is at the end of the millennium. The white throne judgment is for sinners only. Christians, we will be judged for our works. What we've done in the flesh after we accepted Christ, we will be judged at the bema seat of Christ. That's where Paul talks about we will receive our reward. See that no one steals your crown. So we want to study to show thyself approved unto God. And when you do that, not only will it draw you closer to Christ, a deeper and more understanding of your Creator, but that also will help you to win your family, win your friends, and whoever else you come in contact with that doesn't know Christ, and you can share the word with them because you know how to share the word. You know what verses to use to reach that person. And that's why we need to study. And when we do that, the scripture talks about us moving into spiritual maturity. We're no longer, like Paul said, we're no longer drinking milk. He doesn't have to come back time and time again and give us the basic elementary truths of God's word. We've done away with the milk. We're eating meat now. We're getting to the meat of God's word. We have a new understanding through the Holy Spirit connecting with our spirit. We have a deeper understanding, a new understanding. We're able to read divide the word of truth, understand, and be able to apply that to our own life and also to reach others that we come in contact with. So one thing to remember, as believers, we're not to be milk-fed. It's okay for a while. When you first accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never been in God's Word, chances are you haven't. How many says, people that you know, or how many here today would raise their hand and say, yep, before I was a Christian, I read that Bible every day. Ain't happening. Because sin in our life is running the show. And when that's happening, we're not going to pick up the Word of God and read it. So no matter what your age is, when you accept Christ, you're a babe in Christ. You're being milk-fed. And the Holy Spirit would lead you along and protect you for a while. But there comes a point, like Paul said, as you grow, as years go by, and yes, some mature quicker than others. Why? Because they're searching for God with their whole heart, and they're in His Word. They mature sooner, quicker, more rapidly than others. But there comes a time when we have to put aside the milk. And if you don't stay in it, then you slip back to the milk. That's why Paul said, I had to come back again and teach you the basic elementary truths. What are you doing with your time? Why can't you just carve out some time during the day to study my word? So remember, as believers, we do not have to be milk-fed all our Christian walk. Instead, we are to chew on the meat of God's Word. So please, if you have never set a time to really study God's Word, again, and I'll say it again, there is nothing wrong with devotional books. Please hear me. I'm not saying take your Oswald Chambers, let his eyes go, throw it away. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's a good starting point. It is a good read. But if that's all you do, kind of reminds me of some of the football games that have been going on. What did Alabama tell Clemson? That all you got? If all you're doing is reading your devotional, Satan's looking at you saying, that all you got? Because you don't know the meat of God's Word. Dwayne's going to, they're going to sing a song, and then we're closing prayer.
This message reminds me of a line that says, that talks about it's actually a movie about the Bible. Mm-hmm. It calls it the greatest story ever told. When you read a good story or see a good movie, I know I like to see it again or read it again. And I think that's what we're hearing this morning. And this song says, how great is our God? Let's stand and sing this. Remember His goodness and greatness to us, and what do we want to focus on? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. the name above all names. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names, one more time. He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Let your voice sing it out. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
You know, in the Nazarene church, we have altars, and they're always open. Always. And I pray that as we start 2018, that if you have made a New Year's resolution, chances are you've already broken it. That's usually the way they go. But if you haven't made one yet, maybe this morning you would say, you know, 2018, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into God's Word. This biblical illiteracy, I'm going to do away with this. And the way you do it is to get in God's Word. Because, you know, the answer is here. You know, I know many, many times I have myself, Christmas Eve, you got toys that you got to put together, and you tear that box open, and you get all those parts, and you start putting them together, and you can only go so far, and it's like, man, I know I can do this. I got all my tools, and I work, and something just ain't fitting right. And what do you have to do? You go find the box. You got to find the manual and get the instructions. Well, see, that's the way it is with God's Word. This is the manual. This is the instructions for our life. But yet we refuse to read it more than a verse or two. We don't get into the meat of the Word. You know, I've heard a lot of Christians over the years say, you know, I have prayed. And I have come to the conclusion that God does answer prayers. Yes, it's no, or not now, later. Well, I want to say this morning, really? Or could it be that yes, God answers prayer, yes and no, but could it be that the reason the Christian individual says, what the Lord is telling me, not now, maybe it's because we're not reading this, because the answer's in here. Maybe God is saying, the reason you're not getting the answer is because the answer's in the book. If you will read the book, you'll find the answer to your prayer. So is that the problem? That we're not getting the answer to our prayers, is because we're not in the Word. Every situation, every problem that you will ever face, the answer is right here. It's already in there. You saw the scripture on the screen a while ago. This is the breath, the ruah of God. The breath of God. It is alive. All your answers is in this book. So when you hit that wall, you have prayed, and you know lots of new Christians, when we first accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, automatically all our bad habits are gone. Y'all didn't know that? That quick? No, it doesn't happen that way. You know, when you accept Christ, you may have some habits, and you try to put those habits aside. and it's hard because you've done it so long, it's hard. And you come to that conclusion of what I just said. Well, Lord hadn't took this away from me yet, I guess. Answer, just not now. I say, really? Because you can get into the Word and be reading a story that is nowhere near the situation that you're in, but God will give you an answer in it. He will show you what you need to have to overcome whatever it is that you're dealing with. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the Word that you've given us this morning. And Father, as we leave here today, I pray that your Word will be on our mind from this point on. That as believers and Christians, those who have accepted Christ, that you will send your Holy Spirit to just set us on fire inside, to give us that yearning, that desire to read and study your Word. That we will have a more intimate understanding and relationship with you. Because, Lord, this epidemic is not just in Camden First Church, but the statistics show that it is in every Christian church, every Christian believer almost is not studying your Word. 30%. 30% only reads a few scriptures now and then. Lord, help us with this problem that we're having. Lord, shed your light, shine your light on our hearts, that we will know and have that hunger and desire, Lord, to get back into your Word in this year, 2018. And I promise each and every one who does that, who gets into the Word, your life won't be the same. You will have answers that you've been searching for. You will draw closer to the Lord. And that intimacy that you will have with your Lord and Savior will be nothing like you've ever had before. Because the Word will tell you about Him and give you a more understanding of Him and draw you closer to Him and will help you overcome whatever habit you have. Father, we thank you for your Word. We lift you up in praise, Father. And now, Lord, as we leave this place today, we pray your traveling mercies upon each and every one of us. And all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.